be paying our taxes to it, but these are the bankers, they're the experts, they know how to run things?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. No, it's government money that's going in to bail out the bankers and other companies, and yet the government's not taking control. It's the private sector that has the control, but it's our money. When I say government money, I mean your money, my money, your listeners' money, our taxpayer money is going in to bail out these guys that took big risks, lost, and now we're paying them off, and they are continuing to have all the power, the corporatocracy, the private businessmen.
John Perkins, quick break, long segment coming up, lots of time to get into detail here. When we get back, I want to ask you, have they overplayed? Is it so obvious and just incredibly arrogant what they've done? Do we have a chance as a world to get the word out about this and bring these people to justice? And then if we do, what do we set up? What's the new system? How do we move forward?
We took a little trip along with Colonel Jackson down the mighty Mississippi. We took a little bacon and we took a little beans, and we caught the bloody British in a town in New Orleans. We fired our guns and
we were fighting the same people back in the 1830s we are today. It's simple. There's a class of people in ancient China, Japan, Europe. All humans act this way. They figure out how to corner and manipulate currencies and money. And these private families, these private banking cartels, and the allied corporations and military-industrial complex under them, they figured out how to engage in mass fraud, how to create fiat currency and credit out of nothing and then get the world for it. People will kill their grandma, for $1 million. Most people out there, a lot of them would. It's sad to say, that's $1 million made out of nothing. And so they're literally usurping the world through this. John Perkins, Confessions of an Economic Hitman, website's johnperkins.com. I got a bunch of questions for you now, and then anything you want to talk about that you think is most important for folks in the time we have left together today. But tell folks how to get Confessions of an Economic Hitman. I know you have the latest edition out. And also there's a new book coming out in the next 3-4 months, how folks get on the free mailing list there at your website so that they can get the latest news when the new book comes out at johnperkins.org.
Yes, thanks, Alex. It's johnperkins.org, and just right up in the corner, there's a thing that says newsletter or also mailing list, and either one of those, just hit that and just put in your email address, and you'll be on my list. And the new book, the working title is Hoodwinked, An Economic Hitman Exposes What's Going On in the World Today and How to Change It, something like that. That title might change, but we'll be sending out an email a month or two before the book comes out and let everybody know where they can get it and what the title will be. It's being published by Random House Broadway Books, it's going to be covering all of these things.
John, a lot of books have been written from similar perspectives or angles, but obviously you're a great writer and have this amazing history. But why do you think from all the books out there that have been written, literally hundreds that I know of, exposing how this financial global oligarchy works, why do you think yours became a number one bestseller and got so much attention?
Well, I think Confessions became a bestseller because it's a true story about a guy in the trenches. It's not an academic treatise on this. It's not speculation. I only talk about things that I really did. I really experienced it. It's my story, and I think it's a fun book to read because it's down-to-earth stories with a lot of conversations. A lot of people tell me it reads basically like a novel. It's not a novel. It's true. I kept a lot of notes. I know what I said in those conversations. So I think it's kind of fun to read. It's got, sex, drugs, and rock and roll in it, and it's not academic, and yet it covers the real truth behind the economics that went on and some of the economic principles behind it, but I think in a way that's kind of readable.
Mm-hmm.
The new book I'm writing now, I'm very, taken by how many books there are right now on the minutiae, the detail of what's going on in the economy and how to fix it. That's all necessary. Those are Band-Aids, Well, how are we going to deal with AIG? How are we going to deal with the auto industry and Bank of America, et cetera, et cetera?
But why not talk about the cause of it? Why not talk about who did it? Yeah.
Well, that's what I'm doing. That's why my book, I think, is very different because it's saying, look, everybody else is talking about triage, the Band-Aids. We need the triage. We need the Band-Aids. They're not undercutting the need for that at all. But what I'm saying is we got to get at the, what caused the heart attack. You can have a triple bypass, but if you don't change your diet or whatever it was that caused it, you're just going to have another heart attack. And that's what we're going through. We can do all the triage we want, but if we don't get at the root of the problem and change that, then we're not going to get anywhere.
So well, John, that's what I was about to say. The so-called triage is giving the very criminals more power. That would be like if you had cancer and they said, how do we feed the cancer? How do we make it grow faster? How do we give it more power? I mean, that's not how you treat the cancer, is adding more carcinogens.
No, no, and that's exactly right. And so we need to go way beyond that, and that's what my book is about. How did we get here? What are the true causes of this? And what do we have to do to change that? And, of course, the true causes are fairly philosophical, and they're also the way that we all live, the lies that we ourselves have bought into and accepted, the icons that we have chosen to hold out as our heroes, our whole form of consumerism, the fact that we turn a blind eye to companies that are destroying rainforests in order to bring us cheap oil, and so many other things like that. And we really need to address those things, and I think have fun in doing it. You know, I do not see this as onerous. I see this as a time of tremendous enthusiastic passion for moving forward. I think we're at a time in history, Alex, that's like the Industrial Revolution or the Agricultural Revolution, the time when city-states became nations. We're going through a truly transformational time. And if we allow it to happen in this transformation, a few people are going to become world rulers, and they're well on the way to that now, what I call the corporatocracy. But we do not need to allow that to happen. We can see this as a time when we can have a true turnaround, when we really can start to honor and embrace the principles that were espoused by the founding fathers of this country of, you know, the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, government for of and by the people. We've moved a long way away from that in the last four or five decades in this country. We need to, and in fact at other times in our history too, we need to move back into it now and go even further into it and look at it as a worldwide movement, not just a movement that's bracketed by the Rio Grande and the Canadian border and the Pacific and Atlantic Oceans. This is a global movement.
Well, John Perkins, I agree with you when you say we're at a crossroads, and the technocrats, the elites, the big foundations, the think tanks, as you know, say that. And they believe they're going to dominate the future. They believe they can set up this world tyranny under this corporate globalist model where they socialize our wealth, take it from us, and give it to themselves to then buy off and control our governments. And I want to talk about solutions of breaking free from this. But let's go back to the James Bond parallel. You know, Ian Fleming, OSS, World War II, British intelligence, writes these books, and a lot of what's in those movies and books is true, a lot of it isn't. But when you take the gadgets out and the suave, you know, angle, instead of James Bond going out and helping and fighting Spectre and the bad guys, James Bond really works for Spectre. And so you've got CIA, you've got MI6, and then above them is this global Bilderberg group, Trilateral Commission, you know, the inner rooms of the CFR, who are these corporate players, these managers, and you were a mid-level, kind of a captain out there, you know, engaging in the trench warfare on the ground to take over. They know what they're doing. They're making their move. And so in reality, James Bond would actually be the bad guy. He would go over to Iran in 53 with Kermit Roosevelt from the U.S., CIA section chief, stage terror attacks, blame it on Mohammad Mossadegh, have him arrested, behead the cabinet, and bring in an oppressive police state in Savak, which you cover in your book and I cover in my film, Terror Storm, a history of government-sponsored terror. And so now we see them setting up the Savak, setting up this police state grid here in the United States. It's very, very frightening to realize they're going for broke. The establishment has committed, and I see radio, TV ads, print ads, domestic CIA, youth corps in the news saying they're going to spy on their neighbors. I mean, I have the headlines here today about, you know, children being told spy on their neighbors and their parents and how to be paid to do it. I mean, I want people to understand this is really happening. So I kind of put out a lot of info there. Your comments on what I just said.
Well, yeah, it's 1984. We're just a few years late, that's all. But, you know, you talk about Savak, and you talk about even the SS, the Hitler's people. It's coming out that we weren't any better, and probably still aren't. I mean, all this stuff about torture and the degradation of the principles that we've always believed in. What did Savak do that was worse than what work that's coming out that we did? to prisoners of war, to people that we thought could give us information. And now to have a former vice president continue to speak up and say it was the right thing is, I mean, what does that tell us, Alex? It tells us that we've reached a system of where people are very, very much trying to convince us that that is the system that we need to live under. And we must resist this wholeheartedly. If we don't resist it wholeheartedly, we're basically repeating what we for years blamed the German people for having accepted Hitler and the concentration camps, the whole Holocaust. We're finding ourselves in that same position now. Are we going to accept this, or are we going to fight it?
Well, John, that's my next point, is that if you really study history, which you're a learned man, I'm sure you know about this, it's now been declassified and on record. New York.